Welcome to the Ackerman Center podcast.
As a digital extension of the Ackerman Center, our goal is to teach the past so we can change the future.
In doing so, we address issues related to the Holocaust, genocide, and human rights studies from diverse perspectives.
Good afternoon. We're back here with The Years. Those are the podcasts where everyone is dedicated to one of the years of the Third Reich, beginning with 1933 and concluding with 1945. Hi, Angie. Good to see you here again.
Thank you. Well, Dr. Romer, how are we going to approach the event for this year?
So 1942 is the year that we're focusing on. And, you know, whereas, you know, in the past, sometimes we were able in one way or another to identify a single key event. It just seems now that we're really entering the Holocaust proper with the mass killings that it's really hard to kind of see this one thing as the one that stands in the center. There's the obvious one, the Wannsee Conference itself. But then historically, I think by bestowing so much importance upon the Wannsee Conference, one actually creates a very simple timeline that negates actually the ways by which the Third Reich is now enlarging a program for what we could call a continental genocide. But the part that is so confusing about it is that it's almost impossible to identify it with a single event, the Wannsee Conference. So it's not that everything with the Wannsee Conference starts. Some things already predate the Wannsee Conference, but it's even not the case that once the Wannsee Conference takes place, that everything immediately starts to begin. So in that respect, we're like maybe not able to identify an event simply because now something is unfolding on such a large scale, following slightly different chronologies in different geographies, that it would be hard to bring it all together under one key event. So the very absence of our event in lots of ways speaks probably volumes to what is now unfolding in 1942.
Right. It's very difficult because when we're looking at these events, there are certain events that are very crucial to telling the story of the particular year, and they don't transpire in a very short amount of time. As you were saying, it unfolds over the course of several months. And that's what is happening here with the particular events that we've chosen, with the deportations and the beginning of gassing at the killing centers. This is not something that happens in a very particular time, in a very short amount of time, but something that takes place over the course of several months. But it is a very important event, and it is something that we must discuss. So we kind of have to alter our perspective for this particular year.
Very true. I mean, in a way, we could go back maybe to the Wannsee Conference itself and recognize that by the time of the Wannsee Conference, some of the parts that we associate otherwise with the Holocaust had already started. And we talked about it when we discussed the Operation Barbarossa. The killing squads had already started to unleash their destructive force. In addition, even when we look at the Wannsee Conference itself, when it lists out the different countries, it lists out Estonia. And next to Estonia, it very proudly says already free of Jews. So in lots of ways, it is really already catching something or documenting something that's unfolding. Or if you look at the numbers that it lists for Latvia and Lithuania, respectively, then these are already the reduced numbers, because prior to the invasion of the Soviet Union, the numbers of Jews, respectively, in these areas were larger. So in lots of ways, the document seems to both look forward ahead in terms of the mass killings that are going to occur, but in certain ways, it's already documenting that it has already begun. And then in other ways, even when it comes to deportations had already predated the Wannsee Conference and had in very telling ways already commenced even from the German Reich itself, meaning from the German cities, Austrian cities in October and November. So in lots of ways, therefore, you know, if we think about Wannsee as that would have been our possible event, then we almost could, you know, in reverse argue, so what is actually changing because of the Wannsee Conference? It seems to have started before. And then its coordination afterwards is also a little bit uneven. So not all of the occupied countries are commencing in the same manner. So there's, you know, really something which is intrinsic about the process, I think, that makes it almost impossible to put it all on one single event, which was all along a bit of a challenge when it came to our discussions. And we saw it more as a kind of opportunity to actually interrogate this question. But now when it comes to 1942, it is truly becoming probably increasingly more implausible. There's also something to be said about the ways in which the Holocaust does unfold when it unfolds fully. And that's, you know, more toward the end. That brings us a little bit to our newspaper article. So we have a really interesting newspaper article that, however, tellingly comes in from the end of the year.
The Times, from our own correspondent, Jerusalem, November 23rd, 1942. Nazi war on Jews. Annihilation commission in Poland. The executive of the Jewish agency has just received from persons who recently arrived here from Europe and are believed to be reliable the following reports of massacres of Jews in Poland and Jews in Western and Central Europe deported to Poland. It is stated that the Germans began a systematic extermination of the Jewish inhabitants of towns and hamlets in Poland after the visit of Himmler to Warsaw last spring. A special government annihilation commission, set up under the leadership of Commissar Few, is visiting all parts of Poland in order to direct the destruction of the Jewish communities. Thousands of Jewish children up to the age of 12 and elderly people have been executed. Able-bodied male Jews are registered and sent in groups to an unknown destination. After all traces of these victims have vanished, Jewesses are also deported from many places. 2 months ago, 27,000 out of 30,000 Jews were deported from the Kielce ghetto, 1,500 of them being murdered. At Brest-Litovsk, the Germans drowned thousands of Jews in the Bug River. At Piotrków, only 2,600 survived out of 20,000, of whom 160 were women and children. 2,000 out of 40,000 remained at Czestochowa. At Radom Ghetto, 3,500 remained out of 32,000. And the same is true of most of the other ghettos in Poland. At Białystok, the Germans herded 1,500 Jews into a great synagogue and burned them alive. In another place, most of the Jews were burned alive. It has also been reported that there has been a great decrease in the Jewish populations of the Warsaw and Lodz ghettos during the last few months, but no figures are available. The same sources report that mass deportations of Jews from centers in Western and Central Europe are continuing. Only 28,000 remain in Berlin, 400 to 500 in Vienna, and 400 in Hamburg. The Jewish agency executive has considered the reports and has decided to institute action and appeals abroad.
Yes, this is very interesting because in many ways the news becomes noticeable, so to speak, quite late, right, in 42. And then also it's not particularly prominently displayed in the newspapers, but it's rather on some of the back pages and all in all smaller, less significant articles. But I think part of it also has to do with the fact of how this now unfolds. Largely, the Wannsee Conference serves to implement, not to plan, but to implement and to coordinate large-scale alignments of offices that can kind of work together, but not any longer to come up with great novel ideas or so. Then we have, and you already alluded to it, the building up of the actual death camps. So this is in particular the story of camps like Sobibor, Treblinka, Balzac, where we can see that even prior already to the Wannsee Conference, construction begins, but also we can see that they are not ready fully yet at the time of the Wannsee Conference. So if this is planned ahead, then the timetables are not aligning. There's continuing construction in Balzac and Sobibor and Treblinka going into 42, while at the same time deportations can start to continue now on some pace, but they're largely towards some of the existing ghettos, like Riga, rather than Kemps. So the timetables are not perfectly aligned. And then we have to further like look at when does the deportation begin actually from Western Europe? And so that's again very uneven. From some countries, it begins earlier than from others. But in other words, it doesn't start immediately everywhere in the same manner. It's a very uneven process of sorts. The other thing that is also immensely difficult to understand is once the camps themselves, the death camps, are fully functioned, is the enormous speed now with which everything is accomplished. So the mass killings, the biggest part of about half of Polish Jews are almost killed in the course of 3 months. And that is possible because most of the victims that are going to be killed in these camps are living nearby. So unlike the ones that come from Berlin or from Paris or from Amsterdam, those predominantly, the Polish Jews who are going to be killed in the death camps, they're coming from very nearby places, Warsaw, Lublin, and so on and so forth. So that's the kind of space compression that some historians have talked about. But therefore, what we could identify possibly as an event happens with a speed that is almost impossible to understand. About almost 1.5 million Jews are being killed in this short period of time in these camps. This is more than at any other point, but it's also very specific to the killing of Polish Jews. So it would take a lot more time to kill other large numbers of Jews who need still to be deported across Europe. You know, even after the conference that seems to create their table and lists out the countries and brings everyone together where you think that there's such a kind of master plan of sorts, it ends up being actually a little bit more uneven, also a bit more specific to particular regions in the ways in which it unfolds.
Yeah, I think an important point that you're emphasizing here is just the timeline of the events, because this is not something that, it's not a switch that flips, you know, after the Wannsee conference. It's the concentration camps have existed prior to the conference. The killing is happening prior to the conference. But what is important to emphasize about the year 1942 is the, as you said, the speed and the scale to which the killings begin to expand to. This is something that is significant about this year in particular. And a lot of that is due to the implementation of gassing that is introduced at this time. And there's an interesting connection here with the gassing. It's not that the Nazis began gassing for the first time in 1942. They had actually been using this technique prior to this year. It was being used in the euthanasia program, the T4 program. And after the Wannsee conference, there's this turn towards the final solution and the genocidal implementation. Then there's a need for a more, quote, efficient way to exterminate the Jewish population. And that's where we get this implementation of the gassing in the killing centers and the building up of the killing centers themselves, or the conversion of concentration camps into killing centers. This is all stuff that's taking place in 1942. But as you said, this is a culmination of events. This is something that's been transpiring for a very long time, and something that continues to transpire for several months in 1942.
Very true. So it kind of develops a momentum, and we are really reaching a peak in terms of its horrendous efficiency in these like 3 months, August, September, October of 42. And then, you know, interestingly enough, the context will very quickly shift. I mean, the other thing that we associated with 42 is the eventual defeat of the Third Reich at Stalingrad. So in lots of ways, if there had been any kind of ideas about hopeful outcomes as far as the war was concerned, at the latest probably by the end of 42, beginning 43, that, you know, increasingly becomes more implausible to uphold. So that in lots of ways, that is also starting to shift the grounds. And that's probably also why in many ways the importance of these death camps, as far as the Holocaust is concerned, relatively speaking, are declining while the expansion of slave labor camps are increasingly becoming more and more important because the Nazis are becoming mindful that they can extract, so to speak, workforce power out of these enslaved prisoners to sustain the war effort. And so therefore, these death camps themselves will ultimately become less and less relevant, and rather, you know, the camp that we in our minds associate with the Holocaust, Auschwitz, will become the major site both for mass killing as well as for slave labor. So in lots of ways, it's a very interesting shift that is occurring here as well. But in many ways, also now a process that involves so many different participants on such a large scale. I mean, we started with the killing squads, which was very localized and with a very circumscribed group of individuals. But now at this level, we are involving the better part of Europe, the geography, the trains, you know, people that are mindful of the roundups of Jews before they're being deported and so on and so forth. That this is also, I think, the very reason why by the end of 42, the news are becoming of what is transpiring becomes now more readily available at different places throughout Europe.
And there's also the effect that because this is becoming publicized, it's getting out there that what's taking place in Nazi Germany, as well as what you discussed about the turn in the tide for the war for them, there's also this push at the beginning of 43 to destroy the evidence at these killing centers. So, you know, after they complete however many deaths they're trying to accomplish, or, you know, they feel satisfied with however many people have passed through, they start to dismantle the camps, and they have Jewish forced labor that comes in and basically destroys the evidence, burns the bodies, exhumes the graves, dismantles the camp, plants trees in its place, or builds a manor house and a farm in its place to destroy the evidence of this genocide that's taking place, because it becomes increasingly obvious in 1942 that things are not the sunny picture that they had hoped that they were going to be.
No, that is very, very true. This initial period that in lots of ways has really as its centerpiece the death camps, that comes to an end in 43, the decommissioning of these camps and with the very process of planting over them. You know, if you think about also the geography, if the death camps, Sobibor, Treblinka and Belzec had done most of the killing in 42, they're geographically speaking a little bit further to the east, right? That now, by enlarging Auschwitz-Birkenau, you're shifting also the center, so to speak, of the killing a little bit further to the west, which makes sense in light of what you just referenced in terms of the war, but also makes sense that now increasingly the victims will come not so much from the east as much as they're intended to come from the west. And so therefore, Auschwitz-Birkenau becomes, so to speak, the new central place that also for that reason has really captured our imagination, and that we are associating this more also because there are remains of the camp that we to this day can visit. We obviously also have many more survivors from Auschwitz-Birkenau rather than from these death camps, precisely because of the nature in which they were operated and then closed down. So this is the years without a central events. This is 42, where in many ways something on a scale unfolds that really marks the Holocaust as very distinct and different from any kind of previous genocidal practices, either in colonies or indeed, you know, the classical example would be the Armenian genocide. Now we're dealing with something on a continental scale that is also not any longer just interested in killing people where they live, but really in bringing people across this big geography to the places where they are going to be killed. Even a year where we think we know everything, that when it comes to the actual timetabling of it, remains far more complex and varied than we might assume at first when we think, okay, Wannsee, and from there on forward, the Holocaust unfolds. It does. But as we already discussed, in so many different and uneven ways. So thank you again for yet another round of the years, Angie. And we will meet soon again when we're actually going to have a chance to look at 43 and discuss the turning points of that particular year. Thank you.
Thank you.
This podcast is hosted by a team of dedicated faculty and research assistants at the Ackerman Center for Holocaust Studies.
You can learn more about our work and find upcoming events at our website, www.ackerman.utdallas.edu.